Welcome everyone to RB1 : Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Fake Teams Podcast channel. I am your humble host, think the Patriots should tank for Trevor next year, and the Patriots did the right thing by trading out of the first round. Peter Rogers, and I am joined, as I am all the time, for NFL Draft Recap, our expert in the film, the person who knows more about rookies, college football, talent scouting, the most intelligent football mind we have on this show, my wife, Becca Rogers. Becca, how are you?
I'm great, Pete. Never better.
Becca is thrilled that it is currently 12:20 a.m. and that we are just now starting this after a 32-round first round. But she's a trooper.
Isn't it always 32 rounds?
It always is. That number stays the same, even in the midst of a pandemic. We are still always having 32 teams in the NFL. So the first round of the draft went through. Not as chaotic as maybe I thought it was going to be. It was not as wildly exciting, which was a little upsetting. I'm going to be honest here. I wanted a lot more excitement going on. But, of course, we have...
What did you have in mind? What were you hoping for?
Just, like, a lot more action, a lot more trades, especially in the top 10 picks. I thought that there was going to be all kinds of movements back and forth amongst teams, and there was not. It went pretty much to script. Through the first, I would say even really 10 picks, like nothing too wild happened in there. Mm. But yeah, so you took diligent notes throughout the draft, and again, mm-hmm. you're going to be coming with some expert insights that you can only really get here on the RB1 podcast.
That's true. I can guarantee that they'll be 100% based on nothing other than my contemporaneous thoughts.
It's perfect. Uh-oh. Luckily, that was a wet cough.
Was it?
I don't know. I don't know what the difference is. All right. Well, should we begin?
Sure.
Do you have anything you want to start us with?
Well, I'll also fess up to the fact that most of this will be read off of my notes, which again were contemporaneous.
Word of the day. The RB1 podcast brought to you by Contemporaneous.
Well, I think I misused it the first time, so I wanted to use it correctly the second time to Good. Negate it.
To yeah. negate the fact that you used it poorly.
Yeah. So my first line is, why am I crying?
Give us a backstory.
I've officially lost it. Well, so it was, I think you were actually gone for this. The whole draft opened with a commercial, essentially, that was narrated by Peyton Manning.
Oh,
and
sure.
It was just like about sports and how like unifying they are and how we need hope in this time. And then it went off the rails at the end and got like way too overboard. But at first it was just like, oh my God, like this is a semblance of normalcy amidst like all of this uncertainty and disruption. And it just felt like it was
touching. It was
something
hope.
I can, you know, support and feel heartened by instead of just like the never ending drone of, you know, coronavirus news.
So you were crying. Cool, cool, cool. Good start to a draft.
I don't know if I was crying. I was definitely tearing up. And then my immediate second reaction, apart from being like, okay, like wait to take a good thing and make it bad NFL, like usual.
Nailed it.
And then my second line of thought was, this is so weird. It was like an episode of The Twilight Zone with just like Trey Wingo there being like, we're here and everything's normal.
Hello, NFL draftees. Welcome to the draft zone.
We may be far apart, but we're never far from you. It's like, oh.
We are in your homes.
Yeah, so, and then Roger Goodell's entrance kind of confirmed my living nightmare. Which was accompanied by Harry Connick Jr.'s Christmas Carol rendition of the national anthem.
I also want to talk about how Trey Wingo introduced that as Harry Connick Jr. with help from his daughter.
Yeah.
I never saw a daughter.
No,
was she like under the piano manning the pedals? I don't know what role she played in all of this.
Please don't let it be a thing where she passed away or something.
Oh, and God. It was like oh, God. No.
In spirit.
Oh, that
you
was,
should check that before.
We should check. You we edit should see it. That. That would be awful.
There's no way.
They would have said like in memory. She was
just probably in bed or something.
She was just in the house, and they're like, Harry Connick Jr. with his daughter, who's asleep right now, but she's there.
Yeah. Yes. And then. Wow. Blown away by the surprise appearance.
Just really haven't even gotten to the draft, and the NFL really pulling out the big guns here.
Yeah,
like this is like an award show where it's like, hey, you thought we couldn't upstage this celebrity? Guess who we now have to talk.
I don't think anyone has ever thought that about Harry Connick Jr.
No, Harry Connick Jr. has a lot of weight still in pop culture.
You know, Beyonce's like, oh, can't go after Harry Connick
Jr.
Fuck,
I am not having a concert
as long as it's not after him. No, but yeah, Dr. Fauci just making a guest appearance.
Killing it.
Do you think he's a football fan, or do you think he's just doing his civic duty?
I think he figures that he's trying to use this as his one, like, alone time away from Trump on all the press briefings to be, like, quickly spouting as much, like, accurate knowledge as possible. But even then, he didn't really use the platform to spout too much.
No. It was kind of in keeping with the
general tone vibe.
But he, do you think he'd be a Jets fan or a Giants fan?
That's a good question.
Probably a Giants fan.
I feel Giants.
Yeah. I didn't realize he had such a strong New York.
Yeah. Accent. It shows you how much, we've been paying attention to his interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
Should we get to the draft?
One more thing.
Okay.
Since when did Roger Goodell become the troll of the draft?
As in the booing thing?
Yeah, now he's like in on it.
Oh yeah, it's lost all of its fun. It was fun when we would boo Goodell anytime he was on stage and he was kind of like, oh, taken aback by it. And now that he's steering into it, now that it's like a donation thing, that like for every hashtag boo the commish that you tweet, there's like money is given to, which is like
that's a good thing.
Like we support any cause that's out there, but it's like
we don't support any cause that's out there.
Bold stance by the RB1 podcast.
We support that cause, maybe. I don't know.
It's 12:30.
You wanted to do this.
I know. Okay. So the NFL draft then starts 15 minutes late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Classic. Like why couldn't all of this shit have been done 15 minutes before
the
pre-game.
8? Yeah,
like let's if we're going to start the draft at 8, let's start the draft at 8. Bengals on the clock. Bengals did what everyone thought they were going to do. They take Joe Burrow first overall. Becca, what's your insight in Joe Burrow as a NFL prospect?
Not much insight on that front, but I do have some feedback on the animations.
Oh, ESPN's graphic team is they
incredible.
Are
that was
top-notch.
Some Sims 2003 level stuff. Like that was top notch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did find it quite heartwarming. The scene in his living room, like it was just so human that like Joe Burrows and his parents were just staring at their phones, which were connected to the wall and like almost totally oblivious to the camera in the room. It was just like, wow, it's all of
us. You felt like you were just peering into their life.
Yeah.
Yeah. With their horrible shades.
I know. And just like such reserved Midwesterners where like even when he was drafted, they were just like,
well done, Joe.
And like they were even containing their smiles like, oh, can't smile too much. You know?
I do think that I'm pretty sure the Bengals told him before the pick was actually announced. So they probably had already had a celebration. I just do think that this is like a small hit on Joe going into the NFL. Maybe work on your acting chops. You know, like you could have still faked the fact that this news was new for you.
Yeah.
And you could have maybe sold it a little bit better as like, oh my God, the Bengals. Wow.
I don't think anyone has ever had that reaction.
No, I don't think so either.
But he did have a little more like pep in his step during the interview,
yeah.
Which I felt was like also very relatable. Like he was self-conscious and kind of sheepish and he had like, you know, like.
I mean, you forget that these people are like 22 years old.
And, like, and his headphones were like kind of janky and he just looked so sweet.
Yeah, 22-year-old. I mean, who knew that when you're that young, you're kind of a sheepish person. I don't know where I was going with that thought.
Yeah.
Terrible thought.
Speaking of young, am I right?
What a transition. Pick number two. That's right. Washington takes Chase Young again. One of the other obvious picks. Like we said at the top, I feel like the top 10 picks kind of went as we thought they would go. So Chase Young to Washington. Your thoughts?
I think he has a baby face. Which he like tries to hide with his really great style. Mm-hmm. And I just appreciate the sunglasses indoors look.
It is a style strong, that I feel, yeah. Yeah.
Strong statement for him.
Do you think that it speaks more to like the brightness that you keep your house at? Do you think it speaks more to people's ability to dilate? Or is it more of just a pure fashion statement with no practical purpose?
I think it's like, it's a fashion statement and he wants to like keep the mystery alive, you know?
Because the eyes are the windows to the soul, and so he wants to kind of keep his soul.
I think he wants to
give
himself an edge too, because maybe he knows he has a baby face. Mm. I don't mean to say that pejoratively. I was just like struck by like how
baby face,
how like large and adult he was, but also like
he has a baby face,
baby, a young
face. If you're gonna take anything away from this,
could be his nickname,
Chase Young, baby face.
Probably wouldn't like it that much, but
Chase Babyface Young. Well, his last name is Young, so Babyface then really kind of works. Cool. Pick number three, Detroit Lions. This is those first two picks. Was something going to happen? Yeah, probably not. Number three, I thought there was going to be chaos. I thought that was going to be when all of the fun happens, and it wasn't. Detroit stayed there. They took Jeff Okuda, the right choice, the best corner in the draft. What does his tape show you, Becca, about him and how he'll translate into the NFL?
Jeff Okuda, more like Jeff Okuda. That was all I took away from it, was that I found him very attractive. He looked like Chidi Adegonye from The Good Place with his like glasses and his sweater.
You feel like he's, I mean, since he's a professional athlete, I feel like this is probably true, but had a similar like wear a sweater vest, but underneath is like a pretty well-sculpted body. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's,
right. I mean, he's a professional athlete.
I mean, yeah.
You would think
and
so.
And a cornerback.
And a cornerback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'd be excited if I were the Lions. If only for that reason.
If only for that reason.
Literally only for that reason, because I know nothing about him otherwise.
Again, just no one watches tape more than Becca. So, at pick number four, we had our first surprise pick. Again, the Giants we knew were likely going to address the offensive line, but they took Andrew Thomas, who wasn't necessarily on everyone's top for offensive tackle talent, but still an extremely talented tackle. Like, this tackle class was pretty deep, and so there was clearly you can kind of take who you wanted in that top spot. Your feelings on this pick?
Well, my feelings were that I appreciated that the NFL was trying to incorporate, maybe they always do this to a certain extent, but they were like incorporating human interest bits, right?
They had a lot of stories.
They had a lot of stories.
Not that it's a bad thing. I know the way I said it sounded like, they had a lot of stories. It's great to share everyone's story, but there were a lot of stories.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe some of them didn't need to be so long, but I just thought I found it particularly striking when I can't remember which commentator was saying it, but he was talking about how Thomas plays percussion and then defined percussion for everyone like that, but really it just means he plays the drums. I'm like, I think we all know what percussion is, like, and also it's probably very offensive to percussionists to just reduce it to playing the drums.
Right. Right. Like, how would
I mean, as an oboist, I couldn't march with my oboe. It's a double reeded instrument, obviously.
Naturally, everyone knows that.
So I played percussion, and yes, I played the drums sometimes, but also I played the bells and the cymbals.
Yeah.
I mean, percussion is,
there's a whole litany of instruments.
It's an orchestra unto itself.
Wow.
In some ways.
You the listeners would listen to other draft grade podcasts. Maybe you've done your own research. How many other shows are you learning really the extent as to which the number of instruments that are under the title of percussionist.
Yeah. And, I think, and I'm just scratching the surface.
Well, and I think Andrew Thomas would certainly appreciate the fact that you are coming, you are approaching this with a much more open view about what a being a percussionist truly means.
I care about the whole person.
Right, exactly. Well, and someone who's dedicated their lives to being a percussionist, that's an admirable path to take.
Right.
Right, until he decided to give that up for the mildly less profitable business of going into the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then the pick number five, the Dolphins, they tanked for Tua. They got Tua. Everything worked out in their favor. I'm happy that this happened. We can talk a little bit of fantasy here. If Tua is healthy, I think this is a perfect landing spot for him. The Dolphins do have pretty good weapons there. You have Preston Williams. You have Devontae Parker, who's broken out. Mike Gesicki, a tight end. And then I'm sure they'll probably address something more in the second round of the draft. But if Tua is healthy, I think this is a good landing spot for him. What were your feelings on the pick? Because this was one that, I mean, from the beginning of time, this was the move that Miami wanted to do from the beginning of this season. This is what they wanted to do. Because this was the whole tank for Tua. This is why they were throwing their season into the pooper, was to go get Tua Tagovailoa. Who was the best quarterback prospect, but then he got injured. Joe Burrow came out of kind of nowhere to, like, really ascend. And still, Tua's extremely talented quarterback. It's just the injuries is going to be a little bit of a check mark for him coming into the league. But if he can stay healthy, he's got all the talent in the world. And the Dolphins no longer have, you know, they got their quarterback of the future. We'll see how it rides with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be clear, I knew that. I just wanted
to. Well, you wanted me to share my right.
I didn't want you to feel.
Well, yeah. I need to bring a little bit to the table on this show.
Sure. Yeah. So my main takeaway was that Tua's family makes the Burrow family look like the Kardashians. They were like ultra stoic. I mean, I could use some of that right now, honestly. I feel like I wear my emotions on my sleeve too much, and they were just like, you know what, this is...
And they're like, pats on the back.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'm proud of you, but also, we have other things to do.
It was what? We looked this up. It was 3 p.m. In Miami, in Hawaii, Miami.
But it looks so dark.
It did look really dark there. Yeah.
Yep, that's all I have.
Cool. Let's then the Chargers, we back-to-back quarterbacks, again, expected Justin Herbert going to Los Angeles. I, again, like this pairing from a fantasy standpoint. A lot of people, we've talked in the show before, Herbert compares slightly to Josh Allen, and we know that we on this show are not huge Josh Allen fans. Strong arm, erratic passer. But I do think that he fits in nicely with this offense, with Keenan Allen, with Mike Williams, with Hunter Henry, with Austin Eckler in the backfield. That's a lot of offensive talent for him to be throwing the ball to. And you knew the Chargers were going to take a quarterback because, I mean, we love you, Tyrod, but Tyrod Taylor's not who you're running into the 2020 season with when you're opening up a stadium. Clearly, you have all the same thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, first off, he's huge. I don't know, like, is 6'6 a common height for a quarterback? That's pretty tall.
I feel like they average between 6'4 and 6'5. So
they are that big.
Yeah, you're starting to get smaller guys now, like Russell Wilson. That was the big knock on Russell Wilson and Drew Brees. It was like, well, they're like 6 foot or under. Can they see over the offensive line? Kyler Murray last year is a big deal because he's like 5'11 maybe. But yeah, I mean, the prototypical quarterback is always like, a big guy with a cannon for an arm. So Justin Herbert certainly fits that mold extremely well.
Yeah. He seems like a gunslinger in the making. And maybe he can use his massive hands to resuscitate the Chargers fan base.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did they have massive hands? I wasn't paying attention.
I don't know. I mean, he's tall, so I assume.
You just assume.
Yeah. Okay. And I guess maybe they made a statement. I don't know.
I mean, they do measure hand size at the combine, so they have, like, the accurate number.
Do they actually?
They do.
Oh, well, we should fact check that.
Small hands, you don't want small hands because then you can't hold on to a football and you'll fumble it more. Science. Literally. pick number seven, the Panthers go with Derek Brown to shore up that defensive line. Now, I do have to quickly say something. I saw this coming out later. Isaiah Simmons was on the board, who seemed like a perfect fit for this team who's rebuilding their defense. He can play literally every position on the in the defense. But the quote was something to the effect of Isaiah Simmons was such a good player that they felt that he would be better on another team than on their team.
What?
So they didn't take them. That was their reasoning as to why they didn't take Isaiah Simmons. So they went with Derrick Brown, who's a big presence in the middle of that defense. Not a bad pick, but maybe if you're rebuilding your defense, getting a guy who can play outside corner, slot corner, safety, and linebacker might be helpful.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I only have comments on the human interest side of things. Hit us. Which I just think his story is the American story you love to hear. Mm. You know, he Tell comes from a military family. He's committed to his education. He's a hard worker. If the NFL doesn't work out, maybe he should consider trying out for The Bachelor, you know?
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I think, is he also the one who has, like, political ambitions?
I don't know.
He does. Well, yeah, he talked about him, like, wanting to, I think his nickname is, like, Baby Barack or something.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you miss this? Were you gone?
I must have missed this.
Oh, you were probably taking Bird out.
I was probably taking Bird out. Wow, Derrick Brown. So now we have two baby nicknames already in the NFL draft.
I know.
Babyface and Baby Barack.
Yeah, well, we didn't come up with the Baby Barack.
But we came up with the Baby Face. And I feel like the Baby Face will stick more than Baby Barack. So then at 8, the Cardinals do take Isaiah Simmons. And clearly the best pick in the draft, right, Becca?
Yeah. So fast. He's so fast, right?
He was fast.
He was the fast one. I just have four exclamation points.
And so that just confirmed how fast he was in your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you looking at me saying, oh my gosh, that's so fast.
It is.
That was kind of a giveaway.
Well, he's a big guy and he runs fast.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It was that he was big and he was fast.
Well, he 230 or 240.
Yeah.
Running a 4.4.
Right.
It's pretty impressive.
Super impressive.
You can tell.
We all know what that means.
I mean, you are impressed.
I can't stop talking about it. Clearly. 4 exclamation points. Also, I appreciate the fierce looks that he and his family were giving tonight.
Mm.
You know, this goes to a lot of the families. It makes me think that I should consider, like, putting on a bra or wearing something that's, like, not made of sweatsuit material, because that's pretty much all I've been serving up lately. It's been 5 weeks of this.
Yeah.
I'm starting to merge with my sweatshirts.
Mm. Mm.
It's nice.
Things are going well in the Rodgers household. Quarantine is treating us all very well.
Mm-hmm.
At 9, the Jacksonville Jaguars took C.J. Henderson to help replace Jalen Ramsey, who they traded away, and A.J. Boye, who they traded away, getting the second best corner in the draft. What do you got for us?
I'm going to save my searing insight on this one to keep the mystery alive.
Oh, nice.
/ I went to the bathroom during this pick, so
perfect.
Couldn't give my contemporaneous feedback.
And again, the RB1 podcast brought to you by Contemporaneous.
All right. Use it in a sentence. Impress your friends.
Do you want to sound smart in front of your friends? Use the word contemporaneous. It's such a perfect word, they won't really know what it means or whether or not you're using it right.
It's pretentious light.
It's a seltzer. It's a spiked seltzer.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's finish up the top 10. We have the Browns doing what we all thought they would do, which is addressing their offensive line. Jerick Wills going there, solidifying that position and getting Baker Mayfield much needed protection in order to utilize all of the weapons that Cleveland has. Fantasy wise, this is what you want to see. I'm hoping that with a full season of Odell and Baker and this offseason and a coach that can come in and actually maybe take advantage of all these pieces, that we will see the Browns offense be the fantasy juggernaut and just general like offensive explosion that we kind of hope and wanted it to be last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing, I couldn't get past his last name because it reminded me of that time that we stayed at the B&B.
Mm.
Where the guy's name was Wills.
Mm.
His first name was Wills.
Yeah.
And he was like a human-sized penis. He was like the worst person.
I hope they don't listen to this podcast. I mean, I'm sure they do because we have tens of listeners.
But
Wills.
So that's a low bar for Wills everywhere.
Sure.
And I have faith that Jedrick will exceed it.
Well, he has the added benefit that it's his last name.
It's his last name. It makes much more sense.
The first name is a hard thing to...
That's like me calling you Peters.
Oof.
Or Becca's. Like, it doesn't... I don't know. It applies like a... I don't know. Not a fan.
Well, it just implies that there's like multiple of you.
Yeah, maybe there are.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure there are multiple Beccas in the world. I mean, I don't think Becca's that unique of a name.
Is there proof?
Should we knock out? Should we start doing maybe multiple picks? Speed this up.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds good.
Okay. All right. So then, with that, we had the Jets at 11, Raiders at 12, and Buccaneers at 13. We'll tackle those three guys. Mekhi Becton goes to the Jets at 11. Henry Ruggs, with a little surprise, being the first wide receiver off the board, going to the Raiders at 12. And then Tristan Wirfs, to the Buccaneers at 13. Your thoughts on those three picks? Let it ride, Becca.
So for Becton, he seems like a sure Becht. He's so big and so fast, and he may just take the Jets from dismal to disappointing.
Wow.
Which, I mean, we all got to start somewhere.
I mean, that's a vast improvement for them.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Round of applause for the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a note here that says Trey Wingo's overview was cringeworthy. That was kind of par for the course tonight. I mean, I don't want to be too hard on Trey Wingo because he had a tough job, but
Trey.
Yikes. Some of these backstories were like the way they were told. Some of the segues. Yikes. Don't have much to say about Henry Ruggs. He was in a robe, so.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the first person to make this joke, but here's hoping that he's at home in Las Vegas and that, at home. As at home as he was in his living room.
Oh, because he was
wearing a robe.
Got it. If he feels as comfortable.
Yeah.
Quickly, I'm still figuring out exactly how I feel about Henry Ruggs in Las Vegas with the Oakland Raiders, or with the Las Vegas Raiders now. I think I've long said on this podcast, Henry Ruggs is a legit number one wide receiver. He's not just a deep speed guy. Mm-hmm. And the Raiders certainly need a number one receiver, but I'm a little worried that Derek Carr, as someone who doesn't love to throw the ball downfield or really push it, I don't know what Henry Ruggs is going to, exactly what Henry Ruggs' kind of ceiling or role is going to be in 2020 for fantasy purposes. I still like him definitely in dynasty leagues, but I want to see a little bit more and see what this offense is. Before I kind of pull any triggers on Henry Ruggs in terms of redraft leagues. That being said, there still is plenty of targets that he could be seeing coming his way. So PPR, maybe he's someone to keep eyes on just because there's not a lot of people playing in Las Vegas in that offense right now. But we're moving on to 13 with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, Tristan Wirfs. That content, that was my favorite backstory, probably. He laid out the red carpet for his mom.
Yes.
That he was like a super weightlifter. I love that when these players are just like multi-sport athletes and like the top athlete
at
each of those
sports.
It's just
like, it's one of those things where it's wild. When you watch any professional sport, obviously, but like football or like the draft, and you maybe are looking at these people, maybe not a lot of people have this thought. I sometimes have this thought where you're like, well, I really put my mind to it. Maybe I could have been a professional athlete.
I never have that thought, for what it's worth.
And then you're like, oh, no. These people are like genetic anomalies. And my sorry ass would not have ever like touched the ground that they touched.
I don't know if that's true. Maybe not his ground.
Well,
but
thank you.
And also the jump from the pool.
Oh my God, yeah, that was fucking insane.
He jumped out of the pool.
How?
Like 4 feet of water is bananas.
That is absurd.
Yeah, and he's also a fellow child of the corn. So we were both born in Iowa. Well, actually, I don't know where he was born, but he's from Iowa.
Oh, so there you go.
I was born in Iowa.
You're born in Iowa, so.
So I hope he terrorizes the NFL as a Buccaneer.
Well played. Protecting Thomas Brady. I don't like that. All right, picks 14, 15, and 16. The 49ers took Javon Kinlaw. Kind of a shock here. I thought they were going to go wide receiver, but they did not. The Broncos then start the wide receiver or get their pick between Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb, and they take Jerry Jeudy. And then the Falcons take A.J. Terrell. Start us off at the top, Javon Kinlaw.
Well, I thought Derek Brown was the peak American story, but really, Javon Kinlaw.
Oh.
I mean, he's just the epitome of resilience, right? Like, I mean, I know he's not the first NFL player to have been homeless at some point in his life. But it's just wild to think that he went from like that sort of insecurity to being.
Yeah.
I mean, a top first round pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Draft pick. Yeah. And everyone was saying this is a smart pick. The commentators, the analysts, my husband.
Boom.
So if I had to pick one word to describe this pick, it would be sharp. I had to keep you on your toes there. Maybe I should just cut it.
What? What's the sharp had to keep you on your toes there?
Like, I was going to say smart, but I said sharp instead.
Got it. No, I like that. I like that.
No, you're keeping us on
our toes. You're keeping us on our toes.
Cut it all.
Oh, no, it's definitely staying in there.
Cut everything.
So the Broncos.
Oh, my God. I thought it was so cruel. It didn't only happen to Jerry Jeudy, but I thought it was so cruel that he was the last to know. Like, they announced the pick, and then it was... I mean, I guess it happened to a lot of players, but it seemed like there was a bigger delay where it was like everyone knew the pick was announced, and then it...
Then it cuts to them,
and it was like radio silence, like, looking at the phone. But yeah, maybe Jeudy will put Denver on the map again, or at least help me remember what the QB's name is, because I couldn't tell you that for the life of me.
That's not on you.
Literally, the last one I remember, I think, is Trevor Siemian, which was like years ago, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but that's also
Brock Osweiler,
a random ass one to pull
out.
Trevor Siemian.
Didn't he?
Yeah, he played there.
Was he a quarterback for Minnesota at any point?
I don't think I remember him.
I don't know why I remember him.
I don't know. That's a random one. That's a random name to pull out as the last Broncos quarterback you remember.
My deep knowledge.
Jerry Jeudy in Denver. I really like this landing spot for him. I talked about this a little bit on our Instagram story, which you can go follow, Fake Teams. But him paired with Cortland Sutton, that's going to be a really dynamic wide receiver, young wide receiver duo. This is all going to come down to Drew Lock and whether or not Drew Lock can actually put it together in his sophomore season because he's got...
Is that the quarterback?
That's the quarterback. Okay. That's the quarterback. You can lock that away in your mind.
Yeah, I'm just helping our other listeners, you know.
Perfect. So I like the landing spot for Jeudy.
Yeah. I don't have really any notes for A.J. Terrell. Really all stream of consciousness there. Although, did you notice, or was it just me, that the theme song kind of kept changing, or they were using, like, different...
The diddly doo
I don't know. It just, like, it sounded like a high school band mixed with, like, a Jetsons theme song at this point in time, according to my notes. And then I noted it changed later, too. Maybe I'm just distorting it in my head.
Maybe you were just getting a little... Yeah. I mean, it was late. You were just... Your brain was shutting down.
Mm.
That's fair.
See what's happening at that point. What's happening now?
Oh, my goodness. This is why this is a great podcast. Since we're halfway through the draft, and we're also then halfway through the podcast, we're going to take a quick ad break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we are back. We are now at pick 17, and this is Becca giving her expert insight into what the NFL draft has to offer and what we all saw go down. Pick 17, 18, and 19, the Cowboys take CeeDee Lamb. Going to toot my own horn here, predicted this in my last mock draft that I posted, in which I purposely took the wrong but a realistic pick for every player or for every team. And CeeDee Lamb fell to the Cowboys at 17, and I took him, and holy mackerel, this came to fruition. I don't know how it happened. Moving on, then the Dolphins took Austin Jackson, offensive tackle, and the Raiders, again with their other pick, take Damon Arnett, who is a cornerback. We'll talk about him when we get there. But let's start with the CeeDee Lamb pick and your thoughts on that.
First, I want to start with Lewis Riddick's delay, which I found so relatable. Incredible. It was like just long enough that if you were on that call, you would like DM him, but not long enough that you would unmute yourself to let him know that.
Oh, it was like every time when they passed it to him, I was just like, just as I was in my head, going to be like, Lewis, he just started talking. I was like, oh my God.
It was the anticipation that you feel in your throat, like,
oh God, I need to tell you to talk. You're dead air.
Yeah. Also, a close up of Mike McCarthy that no one did.
Yeah.
And Mike McCarthy, you called that too.
Mike McCarthy winning the award for being way too close to the camera, unnecessarily close.
Yeah. I was also disturbed by how much fun Roger Goodell was having. Like, the whole, like, clapping bit.
Are we touching on this now?
I mean, we can. It just seemed like he was having a great time because he got to do it all from his little mold den.
The whole Roger Goodell, like, interacting with the groups of fans thing.
It felt, like, so forced.
Not a fan. Every time it happened, all I could think of was the classic, oh, hey, I didn't see you there. It's like he was, like, back to the camera. Yeah. It's like, hey, fans, be louder. Then he would turn and be like, oh, hey. There's a draft pick that I needed to make. It was just terrible conceptually. I understand like trying to rope in fans and trying to create the like fandom support, but no, they should have just passed on that entire thing. And they did for some picks. They didn't even have the fans there. Do you think Roger Goodell like had? What do you think his conversations were like in between picks by himself sitting in that basement?
I literally don't think he had said anything. I think he just stared or like maybe sipped water.
Conserve energy.
Oiled his
joints.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know. Maybe took a...
Well, he did change his outfit halfway through.
Did he really?
Someone pointed it out on Twitter. I totally missed it. He went from a suit to like
something more casual. Yeah. I kind of did pick up on that actually because the vibe felt different.
Yeah, well, he definitely wanted us to feel at home with him in his basement. Tie. Yeah, you know, get comfy, get cozy.
Someplace I never want to be.
Ugh.
Back to CeeDee Lamb.
Yes.
He has some very good bone structure. So if football doesn't work out, consider modeling.
And then call me first, and then you can rope him into a modeling career.
Yeah, I could be his agent.
Perfect.
I do think this makes Dallas a little scary, but also, am I really that worried about it with Mike McCarthy as the head coach? We all know how that went last time. Wasted a generational talent.
We'll get to that.
Field of weapons, so I don't know. But he does seem like a talented player, and Dak Prescott is a talented quarterback, so.
Yeah, this is from a fantasy standpoint. I don't think it's the best landing spot for CeeDee Lamb, fantasy-wise, because there are teams like if he had gone to the Raiders or if he had gone to the Jets or a team where they are in desperate need of a number one wide receiver, he would have just walked into such a workload that he would have been putting up wide receiver two numbers with ease. With Dallas, he's perceivably behind Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. And Ezekiel Elliott is still on that team. So there's a lot of mouths to feed, and he is not the priority. This is a huge boost for Dak Prescott, though. Dak Prescott has another chance to be a QB1 this year in terms of fantasy just because of the amount of weapons he has and the amount of players that defenses are going to have to worry about this year. So huge boost for Dak Prescott. It's kind of lukewarm on CeeDee Lamb's actual fantasy value for this year.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more.
That's what we're here for.
I have no thoughts on Austin Jackson. I was also on a bathroom break.
Okay.
You're
not going to talk about that note right there?
Oh, yeah. My last note on CeeDee Lamb is just fuck you, Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones, who called in from his, I saw this, $250 million yacht. So
fuck him.
Go fuck yourself, Jerry
He's
Jones.
The worst.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. So you can talk about Austin Jackson if you want to.
Dolphins got an offensive tackle.
There we go. That's all you need. And then Damon Arnett, this is where things started getting a little frisky.
A little exciting,
where Roger Goodell proclaimed Las Vegas as the host of the 2020 draft. That was great.
And Roger Goodell, like, forgetting how time works.
You also pointed this out too, like, as he was reading from the card, he realized his mistake and his face fell, and it was like this internal battle of whether or not he was going to go back and correct himself. Yeah.
He's like, Las Vegas will host the 2020 NFL draft. Now, with the 19th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, you're like, oh no, Goodell, no. Oh.
It was perfect. I also didn't realize this until I was on Facebook after the fact, that just, like, totally screwed Green Bay, who was supposed to host it in 2022, and
everyone's
now...
Everyone's out to get you.
...won't be able to host it until, like, 2024, so that sucks for Green Bay.
This was a shocking pick. We'll say it there. I did not expect Arnett to be a
was it because he
pick.
Was it because he quit the game and then was like coerced?
I just think that there are plenty of other corners on the on people's boards who a lot of people had ahead of him.
This was Gruden, wasn't it?
It's Gruden being crazy.
Yeah,
Gruden and Mike Mayock. Mm. They like to they do their own thing.
Shake things up.
Yeah, they're crazy. 2021 and 22, the Jaguars selected they took Kayvon. I think it's Kayvon. Or is it Clavon?
Oh, I don't know. I probably mistyped it. Well, cut that out.
Yeah. Okay. So at 20, the Jaguars took Kayvon Chaisson. I believe that's how you say his name. Could be totally wrong. And then the Eagles took Jalen Reagor at number 21. And then 22, the Vikings took Justin Jefferson. Start at the top, Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think this guy seems impressive. I love a versatile linebacker.
Gotta love him.
R.I.P. Clay Matthews.
Who's not dead, but...
No, but his career with the Packers is dead.
Sure.
I don't know why I wrote this. And a good off-the-street story. What does that mean, Becca?
He came off the street.
Oh, yeah. He was the one. Yeah, yeah. He was the one who, like, went to an LSU football tryout with his friend just to watch.
Oh, really?
And then the guy was put on some cleats or something. So he, like, borrowed someone's cleats, and then LSU offered him a spot on the team. Which is like, his friend must be pissed. Unless his friend also made it.
Can you imagine being like, hey, you guys wanna come on down to this practice with me? And then you don't make it, but your friend who just like happens to be an athletic freak just like steps on the field. Yeah.
That was very impressive to me.
Hmm. I mean, that is very impressive.
What more is there to say?
I guess not. Anything.
I guess not anything. Sorry. Jalen Reagor. Reagor?
Reagor.
As in the heir to the Iron Throne, who saved his lineage by marrying Lyanna Stark and siring the noble-born Fire Ice King Jon Snow.
I think they are one and the same.
No?
Yeah.
Just a great wide receiver? Cool, 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 cool.
Oh, so proud of that.
I'm so proud.
That was very good.
I was drawing a blank on him because I had not listened to most of the... Because
you were thinking of that. You're like, how can I make a great Game of Thrones reference here?
How can I really show my bona fides?
Bona fides.
Bona fides?
Bona fides? Bona fides?
This is now...
It's 1 a.m.
This is now what...
Jalen Reagor, and do you want to quickly talk about Justin Jefferson? Because I feel like these two guys are I can talk grouped.
Yeah, well, is everyone in this draft from LSU?
Yeah, there's a lot of LSU guys in this draft. Louisiana. It was a very loaded team.
Yeah. Well, at least this LSU alum doesn't have to change his heinous colors, right? He goes right from purple and gold to purple and gold.
That's true.
Also loved Mike Zimmer's backdrop.
Yeah.
Just doing the Midwest proud there.
The insight that you got into coaches' houses.
Yeah.
It really, I feel like...
Surprisingly sparse, actually.
But I also feel like that, like, it pretty much coincided with exactly who you thought.
Mm.
Like, it was pretty on par with, like, oh yeah, this is exactly what it was like. Like, you're right, Mike Zimmer had, like, this big fireplace in the background with a mounted boar head or something like that over it. It's like, yeah, that feels very Mike Zimmery.
Yeah, I'm actually a little bit worried about this pick, because Kirk Cousins, I mean, not for fantasy purposes, for my team.
For the Packers.
For the Packers, because Kirk Cousins has proven that he's less mediocre than we all thought.
Amen.
And Justin Jefferson seems like a good deep field threat.
Yeah. So I love this landing. Justin Jefferson was one of the most productive wide receivers in college football last year at LSU, and comes in, fills the Stephon Diggs role, and is going to offer all kinds of stuff that this offense can do with. I think that he and along with Jalen Reagor are two guys who have stepped into huge openings for them to really produce. Reagor especially, since the Eagles had really no one else. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I guess, is the closest guy. Alshon Jeffrey, if you want to consider him a valuable player there, I guess. But really, it seems like Reagor is going to be, or was drafted to be, the number one guy in Philly. So that's going to be a huge target load that he's going to walk into. And Justin Jefferson is just immensely talented. And I think that he's going to play really well with Adam Thielen and give Kirk Cousins a really legit number two wide receiver to play with.
Or it could go horribly wrong.
Or it could all crash and burn.
There's just no connection between Cousins and Jefferson.
Just like the 23rd pick. Because you were in the bathroom.
I didn't even miss the name.
And you were the one taking the notes, so I don't know who the 23rd pick was.
Yeah.
I don't remember at all. So sorry.
Do your own research.
We can't provide everything. So then pick number 24. The Saints take Cesar Ruiz, the center, who was kind of climbing people's boards leading up to the draft. I don't necessarily know if people had him consensus as a first-round pick, but it seemed like a good get for the Saints. It made sense around there.
Yeah, it seems like somewhat of a like personality thing, too. Like, sure. He seems like a good coachable player. Also had a, you know.
Had a good story.
Yeah, tugged at the heartstrings. Mm-hmm. And he's from Michigan. I think he's the only first-round.
Wolverine,
yeah. This draft, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we not doing the three at a time?
Oh, anymore? We can do so. Then the 49ers took Brandon Ayuk. I think they actually traded up with the pick 23. I do know pick 23 because that was the Patriots, and then we traded out of it, and the Chargers traded into it, and it was Kenneth Murray, athletic linebacker. I really wanted the Patriots to get Kenneth Murray or Patrick Queen. They didn't get either. They traded back. Very Belichick move. Great get for the Chargers.
Are they tanking the season?
Tanking the season. Blow it all up. 49ers trade up to get Brandon Ayuk. Kyle Shanahan gets another wide receiver to pair with Debo Samuel. Like, I can't say enough about Kyle Shanahan's offense. Like, I think at this point we are just basically, you plug a wide receiver in it, they're going to have fantasy value. So, I mean, it is, like we've iterated many times, it's 1 a.m., have I put together my whole list as to how these wide receivers stack now that we know where they're going to be in terms of fantasy? No. But Brandon Ayuk, I think, is going to be a very viable guy, given the fact that it's not a lot of competition there outside of Debo Samuel and George Kittle in San Francisco for that passing game. So I think, and he's an extremely talented wide receiver, so I think that is a good landing spot for him.
Yeah. And he's got a huge wingspan.
And a massive wingspan, which is something that, like, I don't think if no one had said it, I don't know if I necessarily would have seen it. But then when someone points it out and you watch clips of him, you're like, oh, my God, those arms are, like, dragging. Yeah. Those arms seem like they're past his knees. It's enormous. It's a weird, weird thing to watch. Now.
Oh, man.
Now we get to pick number 26.
The big one.
Now for listeners at home who don't know this, Becca is a diehard Packers fan. And with Patrick Queen on the board, with a couple wide receivers on the board, with a lot of players still out there on the board, the Packers trade up to get quarterback of the future, Jordan Love. Your thoughts, Becca?
Oh my gosh. I am really worried about this. And I didn't love this pick at all. Like, I thought that this was the classic, like, maybe, like, blow it up or be crafty or creative kind of, like, gameplay strategy. And I just think it's going to be disastrous, honestly. Like, I think Rodgers, like, resented coming in and not being able to play. This is not going to escape him, not only because everyone's talking about it, but it's also just, like, that this symbolism there is going to be tough for him to get around. This is not going to sit well. And he doesn't have any, like, he doesn't target or hasn't had much success targeting anyone but Davante Adams. And so, I think this could spell doom for Packers Nation this is maybe a little bit of an exaggeration, but like I could see it, like, just Rodgers wasting the rest of his career, retiring bitter or going somewhere else, and then we're like hanging our hopes on Jordan Love, who, I mean, I guess I wasn't really following football as closely when Rodgers was drafted, but like I haven't heard anything about him. I don't know if he has the potential to be a franchise quarterback, but it's just like, I just thought that this was a really risky pick from a personnel standpoint, and it essentially sent a message that they're like, they're not giving up on Rodgers, but their priority is not enabling Rodgers to win a Super Bowl or two. It's building a team for the future, their team.
And the weird thing is that they moved up for him.
Yeah.
I don't...
And do you think he would have gone earlier?
I don't think... So the picks between them and the Packers, between 26 and 30, where the Packers initially would take Seahawks, Ravens, Titans.
Someone must have...
I wonder if a team was thinking that they were going to trade up for him, if that was what the Packers were worried about. The Seahawks and the Ravens weren't going to take him at all. Maybe the Titans would have, but I have no idea. No, the trading up is weird. That is a weird move. I think that you're right, that it is certainly a pick for the Packers rather than pick for like the Aaron Rodgers Packers. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're just anticipating that with all this wide receiver talent that someone will get pushed down to them in the second round, or that they can make a move to get someone in the second round. But it does feel like, but then again, if you have another seamless transition, if you're going from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan, 15 years of Jordan Love,
maybe it's worth it.
People were tossing around the Patrick Mahomes comparison. I mean, people are going to do that.
Yeah.
But if he turns out to be that, then you look back on that and you're like, well, that wasn't a bad pick.
Yeah. I mean, Matt LaFleur seemed pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
I
mean, I personally can't wait for Bill Belichick to send a third round pick to the Packers to get Aaron Rodgers, and all of a sudden the Patriots now are back and kicking and we are Super Bowl ready, baby.
I cannot imagine Aaron Rodgers in the Bill Belichick.
What if it happens?
Scheme. I can't.
Would you root for an Aaron Rodgers-led Patriots?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
No, your allegiance is to the team, not the player.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
Okay. I mean, I'm not against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers-led Tom Brady. Wait, Tom Brady-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are leading Tom Brady.
Well, maybe they are.
Maybe they are.
Also, I just wanted to say that, this was another cringeworthy moment where Trey Wingo was... trying to honor the family's wishes and like telling the story of Jordan Love's father, and it just came out in a really unfortunate way, and it felt like it was kind of shaming and stigmatizing mental health issues, and I just found that very off-putting. And it, like, not only did I think it was not necessary kind of color, if they wanted to include it, they should have done a better job of how they like kind of told the story. So, yeah.
That's fair. Pick number 27, the Seahawks took Jordan Brooks, who's a linebacker.
Wow. things hit a mood at this point.
This is a very Seahawks pick in which there was a Patrick Queen sitting there for them and they decided to go with not him and instead took a linebacker who you're like, oh, okay, sure, ?
So are you surprised that Patrick Queen fell so far?
Not particularly, but I am surprised that, like, another linebacker was taken ahead of him right before, and I am annoyed as a Patriots fan and as a fan of the AFC that the Ravens, a team who needed a linebacker, who needed basically exactly what Patrick Queen was, had Patrick Queen just fall very nicely in their lap at 28.
Hmm. Yeah. I know I've had searing insight up to this point.
Right. But so
it's really just kind of all devolved at this point. I'm reading things like Mario Party and Pokemon, 5-year-old soccer game in my notes. It's hard to say what I was thinking.
It's hard to say where Rebecca's mind was a mere hour ago.
Truly all over the place. I mean, this was your favorite thing, and this was recurring, so we'd be, you know, remiss not to talk about it. Mel Kiper was on one. If I could get some of what he was...
Mel Kiper was on a substance consuming. That I feel like is illegal in 50 states.
Yeah.
And he just looked like a Muppet on, I don't know, Adderall or something like that. And you were pointing this out. He just seemingly also was like profusely sweating.
But I think he just got sweatier as
throughout the night.
Yeah.
It was a sight to behold.
Honestly, it was inspiring. But like, I was everyone, like, wow, how is he keeping up that energy?
Because they cut to everyone else, and everyone else was, like, very much, like, stand still, like, sit still. We're in the, like, my headshot is all squared perfectly, yeah. And it's like, here's what I have thought. And Kiper was like, well, I'm just flailing and flapping and moving my head all around. And you're just like, oh, okay, Mel Kiper, just doing your thing. Good for you.
Yeah, also energy I could appreciate was Michael Irvin.
Mm.
He was like spot on every time. Michael Irvin is a collective. You are the entertainment here. Like, I would just sit and watch you.
Oh, he's entertaining. That's for sure.
I don't know. Maybe I.
Well, I'm just speaking. Small doses speaking of entertaining.
Mm.
The Titans took Isaiah Wilson, offensive tackle. But that's neither here nor there. We don't care about the pick. What we do care about was Mike Vrabel's war room.
Oh, my gosh. What was going on there?
I don't know what the... Like, you have to look at... I tweeted this out, so you have to find the picture yourself. There, Mike Vrabel sitting at a desk. To his left is his son, I would assume. Someone... With a stash and a mullet.
Appeared to be in his 20s.
Wearing old Mike Vrabel Pro Bowl jersey. Over Mike Vrabel's other shoulder was some guy in like a
morph suit with a circle for his head.
Logo kind of is
and
the
like
morph suit.
Classic blue jump, like, or gym shorts.
And then in the background, literally, there's the door open. And in the background, there's a guy taking a dump. I swear to God, he's taking a shit in the background of this. And I don't feel like everyone in there didn't realize that there was no explanation. There was no explanation for
you
what
know
this...
that tomorrow it's gonna be like, oh, he wasn't in the bathroom, he was just sitting at a desk or something.
There was no explanation for the insanity that was this setting that we were just like suddenly thrusted on.
Well, is Mike Vrabel known as like a strange guy?
I don't think so. Maybe he was just fucking with everyone.
It was just really unclear given the ages, like, given the apparent ages of everyone, what their connection to him was. It was, everything was confusing. That was kind of the chaos that you wanted.
That was the chaos I wanted. That was the kind of chaos I wanted from the stay-at-home draft. And we had to wait all the way till 29. But I have to say, it gave what we needed.
Yeah, I'm glad we hung in there. But I'm sorry to Isaiah Wilson that he was upstaged with so many white boys.
Yeah.
I'm sure that will not happen in Tennessee.
No, definitely not. All right, final three picks. We'll get through them. The Dolphins took Noah. Oh, I'm going to let you pronounce that one.
Noah Igbinoghenye, I think.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I have no idea.
It's Nigerian. He's Nigerian.
There you go. Cornerback. Minnesota then took Jeff Gladney, also a cornerback. In Kansas City, finished up the draft with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Your thoughts on these picks?
My notes are not giving me much fodder here. Most of them are about how long the draft is and how tired I am. I'd be interested in your take on Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he's the first running back.
He is the first running back taken, and not who I thought was going to be taken.
Really?
Yeah, I thought, I mean, there are three clear running backs in my mind who are above him, but he was someone who certainly there was a lot of excitement about him leading up to the draft. He kind of was climbing up people's boards. a pass catching back obviously makes a ton of sense in Kansas City. He's someone who I think would pair really nicely in that offense. Mm. And with no one really in that backfield, he does have a lot of fantasy potential if he can kind of take that role and really hold on to it. But we'll see. Really run with it. But we'll see. It's a little upsetting because they did draft Darwin Thompson last year, whom I have in a dynasty league, and now they've kind of overlooked him.
Oh no.
So I don't know. I don't know what's happening there with Darwin Thompson. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire, first running back taken to end out the first round. I had a bold prediction that 6 wide receivers and 2 running backs would be taken.
Ooh.
One off on the running back.
So there
count.
Were six.
There were 6 wide receivers, but I was off on the I also said that Jordan Love and Justin Herbert would go ahead of Tua, and that didn't happen. Tua went number 5 to the Dolphins, and I said there would be 3 trades in the top 10 picks. That also didn't happen, but we had still some chaos.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, for as much shit as we rightfully give the NFL...
The NFL deserves lots of shit.
Lots of it. Heaps of it. Steaming.
Steaming shit. Piles of heaps of shit.
Yeah. But this was... I was surprised at how well executed it was. Like, there were, like, the classic little pauses, but for the most part, it was seamless, and I... part of me was grateful for it, because it made it seem a little bit normal. I liked the little... noise for the pick is in. Like there was semblance of a normalcy, which I appreciated. And I feel like if you're going to criticize, you also have to give credit where credit is due.
Amen.
And they did a good job.
Yeah, no, I thought that was a good production, especially since they did a test run on Monday and evidently it was a complete and utter shit show. So They got it together, and it definitely worked well. It was a good, quick. It was quickly thrown together from a production standpoint. And
how do you coordinate that?
Yeah, I don't know how you do
that. That many cameras. Oh man.
But they did, and it was successful all around. A good, certainly a good product. An enjoyable first round.
Yeah.
Again, long. It's always long. I always forget how long it is.
Yeah.
And we still have 6 rounds to go. Plenty of action to still happen. Hopefully some craziness goes down. There's a ton of wide receivers there that are still out there. Tons of big names that still have to go off the board. But that is it for us tonight, because it is late and we have to go to bed. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, the whole nine yards. We are there. Find us at the Fake Teams Podcast channel. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. You can follow myself at PM Rogers. Follow Becca at Rebecca Ryan. Thanks for coming on as always.
Yeah.
Of course. We'll talk to you guys next week. Until then.